Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When the children were little, I had them in a Waldorf preschool, which has a, I think, very funny understanding of human development in those early years of life. I remember going to my first sort of mother and baby class when Sophie was tiny, and they talked about little infants as being in the plant phase, where they basically, their faces turn to the light and they take in nourishment, but other than that, there's not a whole lot else that goes on. But before too long, they enter the reptilian phase, where they slither along on their bellies and, you know, kind of push themselves up like cobras a little bit, but, you know, we're still fairly early in the human development scale. And eventually, of course, we get into the mammalian phase where they're crawling, and eventually Homo sapiens, they're standing. And it's just this beautiful, very natural, integrated understanding of the natural world and our development as human beings. And of course, related to the physical development of our bodies, in the Waldorf system, there's a very comprehensive understanding of what happens to the child's soul and spirit as the spirit comes more and more deeply into the body. I think so much of the early part of childhood, that toddler phase and slightly older, is a giant domestication process. You know, you take these semi-wild beings and you're teaching them how to use the bathroom and feed themselves and dress themselves, and you attempt to instill some sense of manners into their lives. And one of the most beautiful things about being in an intergenerational community is to have the assistance of so many people in this domestication process. It's so sweet to me to watch older adults interacting with our little people in coffee hour, teaching them how to have conversations, you know, getting down to their level and looking them in the eyes, asking them about what they do at school or if they have a best friend. Maybe as they get a little older, if they have a favorite book or have they learned to ride their bike. You know, those kinds of gentle questions that adults are willing to engage with little children about helps them learn who they are and how they can be in relationship with people of all ages. It gets a little harder when they get into those tween years. Because especially as technology changes and our culture shifts so dramatically, our children, of course, are still deeply struggling to understand who they are. But it's harder for the adults around them to so readily connect with them. If you're not fluent in languages like Instagram and Snapchat and Tumblr and online video games and all that sort of thing, it can be hard. The answers fall down to monosyllabic responses when you try to engage some of our tweens. And I mean, you can feel that it's just an awkward time of life. I feel that Angela and Dick Galbraith and all who have worked with our youth groups over the years have a special gift at engaging kids during an awkward time in their lives to help them continuing to learn who they are at that phase. But it's so interesting, in the late teenage years, and I remember this so distinctly from my life, the questions start to change. What college do you want to go to? A big school or a small school? Do you want to be close to home or do you want to be far away from home? What do you want to major in? What do you want to be when you grow up? The questions start forecasting out, helping the child, the older child at this point, to think into the future. And especially those of you who are so generous in sharing your college experiences with our teenagers and engaging them on those levels, more and more and more, they learn who they are and what possibilities there are for them in the world because of the generosity of adults who are willing to be in community with them. all of that discomfort and restlessness and distress and the teenage, adolescent years can be so hard on everybody. But we're much more inclined as adults to look at that time and to see all of that as part of natural human development. It's fascinating that as we age, at some point, there is a change. And Anne Morrow Lindbergh talks about the shift from when those questions, those restlessness, that distress, that anxiety that we see in teenagers continues into the adult years. We don't necessarily always understand those as signs of new life. As Michael talked about in his Advent 4 sermon a couple of weeks ago, it can be so hard to remember that when we feel those places of distress and discomfort, of restlessness and questioning in our adult lives, it can be so hard to remember that those are the growing pains of something new trying to emerge in us as adults. When we meet Jesus in the temple this morning, we see a teenager in community with adults who are all engaged with the deep process of questioning and inquiring about who they are. We hope that just as Jesus was learning more and more about himself and what God was calling him to be, we hope that the people who were listening to him in the temple, the adults, were allowing this precocious 12-year-old boy to touch their hearts and to teach them something new about new life and new growth. We all go through so many changes in our lives. Although the external things are not so clearly marked, our bodies stop growing and actually begin going in the other direction, our careers get built to a certain point, we're no longer so concerned with building wealth as living a good life. Our family structures have developed to a certain point. At some point, those external markers of human growth are no longer quite as obvious as the turn is inward and into a deepening of our spirituality, a deepening of our self-knowledge, and maybe even a purifying of the things in our lives that we consider to be our core values. Can we come together as adults in a community and trust that it's only when we are willing to be vulnerable to each other, to say to each other, I'm making this change in my career, and I'm not sure where this is leading me. Or a loved one is ill, or I'm facing an illness, and I don't know who I'll be on the other side of that. Can we come together as a community and listen to stories about family relationships changing, or old friendships that are rekindled and renewed as others fall away? Can we have the same space for those points of discontent and discomfort and restlessness that arise in all of our hearts as adults, that we give to our teens and our friends in their 20s as they're learning who they are? The great gift for us as disciples of Christ, as followers of this wonderful Lord, is that we have a community in which we can open our hearts to those deep questions. But even more importantly, we're given the grounding in something much bigger than ourselves. We all have been around people who become so self-introspective and so inward-looking that they're intolerable to be around. They lose a sense of their interconnectivity. They lose a sense that they have been shaped by communities and will return to communities. When we are so deeply grounded in God, in Jesus, by definition, we remember
that we are more than just ourselves. We have before us a call like we hear in the book of Micah, to learn more about ourselves so that we know how to do justice. This is not just about our happiness and our peace and contentment as individuals, but how we, as every single child of God, are called to do justice so that all of God's children have the security and the peace and the love and the shelter and the food so that they can explore who they are. We're also called to love kindness. It can, again, be so easy when we're in those times of great questioning in our lives, around midlife, around retirement, around any shift in the sense of who you are. It can be so easy to get so turned into ourself, which St. Ignatius calls desolation, that we forget to love kindness. But most of all, these questions, these wonderings, these places of vulnerability in our lives and in our communities bring us to a point of great humility. When we are able to stand with each other and to be honest about the questions that are brewing in our hearts, we acknowledge that it's only when we're grounded in God, in the love of Jesus, that we are most fully home. So I invite you at this point in Christmas time to ask yourself, who are you at this point in your human development? What are the points of restlessness and questioning or discontent that have been brewing in your heart? Can you show yourself the kindness to see them as signs of new life and new growth? And can you bring them into community where we can affirm you and love you and challenge you? And then together from a place of great self-knowledge, knowledge first and foremost that we are God's beloved children, from that place, we can do justice together. And we see every day how you all here at St. Mary's do such extraordinary work. And yet there's always more that God is calling us to do. So may each and every one of us find the courage to sit with those restless, discontented points in our heart. May you feel Jesus touching them so deeply and drawing you forward by the Epiphany star into a life of justice and kindness and humility. Amen. Amen. Amen.